Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you some sci-fi news for this week. So, what are the big three topics I'll be talking about? Well, we have a Godzilla anime movie coming to Netflix. The second thing is going to be the Kingsman director, Matthew Vaughn, is being eyed to do a Man of Steel 2 movie. And then lastly, I'll be talking about Iron Fist, and which I was originally going to do the first episode. I wound up doing a little bit more. So let's get started with Godzilla. And stop right there. Stop right there. I do not want to hear the Godzuki part of this theme song because I hated the stupid animated series watching Godzuki. Granted, you know, he shoots lasers from his eyes. But still, Godzuki ruined everything. Just like when this whole thing became the Sun version of whatever that popular character was, you know, like Plastic Man and Baby, or Popeye and Son, and Fang Face and Son. And I'm like, enough of all this garbage. And there it was, Godzilla had Godzuki. So, enough. Alright, so moving on. So, finally, there is some good news. We are going to get a new Godzilla movie, though. This is its first anime movie, so I'm really eager to hear more about this, and we're not going to get any more news until March 26th. Supposedly, that's when it's going to get its worldwide release. So it's going to be debuting on May 26th, and then from that point on, we'll have more information as to when we're going to get it here in the States to watch it on Netflix. So still, I'm just over the moon that we're getting all this property coming out for the monsterverse that I talked about with the King Kong Skull Island. So I'm just wondering if, as the superhero genre, not that it's waning, but, you know, if this is what's going to be the next big thing, let this be the next big thing. I would love to see more kaiju-related properties, and please bring on Godzilla anime. So, all I know is that I cannot wait for this to happen. That's all. So, let's get to the second bit of news. Matthew Vaughn is in talks with Warner Brothers as they want him to be the director of Man of Steel 2. So if you know Matthew Vaughn, he's done Kick-Ass, he's done The Kingsman, The Secret Service, which later this year will have the sequel, which I'm kind of a little skittish about. But we'll see what happens with that. Now, from what I gather from what he was talking about, his idea about Superman, he said that he was like, and this is, I'm going to take a little quick quote here. He says, "I think the one thing not to do with Superman, trying to do the serious Dark Knight version. Superman is about color and fun, or it should be for me." So it's a complete different, that's a departure from what Zack Snyder did. But Zack really made it much darker in tone, darker in action. But in fairness, he went at making Man of Steel as if there were no other Superman movies before, which is exactly what it needed to do. Granted, people didn't care for it, but I loved his vision. And yes, Batman vs. Superman had problems, and that also carried over with the whole darkness. So if we go back to the more lighter tones of Superman being more positive and more uplifting, then albeit. But I don't want to see like what Bryan Singer tried to do to mirror what Richard Donner had done with the Christopher Reeves movie back in the 70s. So while it was a nice homage, it's really slow. And I think today's audiences would not sit still for a movie that happened back in the 70s to be done today in that same style. Now, you can take certain aspects of it, something about his honesty and being really genuine in what he has to say and what he allows and what he believes that his actions prove more than words. So we'll see whatever happens with Man of Steel 2. So we are going to get Justice League later on this year, and then after that we'll see what happens with Man of Steel. Now, if that doesn't work out, I know very well that they're planning to still keep Matthew Vaughn in mind to do another property for DC. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I want this all to work out, because again, DC, I don't think can play catch up. I think they'll be able to do a series of movies to just say, well, we did our characters. There's Batman, there's Wonder Woman, with maybe Flash, we'll definitely get our Aquaman, maybe the Green Lantern Corps, and then 2020 rolls around, and that may be all there is. But in the meantime, at least we got them to the big screen. So we'll see whatever happens from that point on. But considering what Vaughn has able to do with certain movies, I'm all for it, and I think it needs someone's touch like that to not necessarily dismiss what Zack had done, but gradually push Superman into where he's going to be and what we all have our idea of what Superman should be for this new age. So hopefully that will be the symbol of hope, like on his chest, he said, and be something that's a little bit more uplifting that people will respond to. So let's move on to Iron Fist. Alright, so billionaire Danny Rand returns to New York City after being missing for years. Trying to reconnect from his past and his family legacy, he fights against the criminal element corrupting New York City with his kung fu mastery and ability to summon the awesome power of the fiery Iron Fist. Yes. Doesn't that sound exciting? It does. Well then, I am in the minority. I've been looking around prior to this and not necessarily reading all the bad reviews, but I'm kind of hearing that the series, after the first 6 episodes that were given to critics, were not that great. So, today being Saturday, I was originally going to watch just the first episode yesterday. I wind up seeing 3 complete episodes, and I stopped at the 4th. And I'll get that at the end of this. So, when I went to Rotten Tomatoes to prep for this review, the critics gave it like a 17%, whereas audience members gave it 88%. So, if you thought Batman vs. Superman was harsh for, like, what, 27%? I've never seen 17% for any superhero to be given that low mark. Is this a fair grade? Because people are saying, well, critics are basically cynics, and they get paid to review, so it's not really meant for them. This is for the fans. And that's exactly what happened with the actor who played Daniel Rand. Danny Rand. And he talked about saying that this show was not made for critics. It's made for the fans. Let me put this in this perspective. I know of the character. I know he paired up and fought alongside Luke Cage. But that's about it. And the fact that he knows Kung Fu and he wears a green outfit with a yellow bandana, there's not much more that I know to this character. So I went to YouTube and looked up what his background was. And in a couple of minutes, I got the gist of what he is. So now that I know that, okay. It's okay. I watch crap, and I tend to stay watching crap till the end. My hope is that there is something at the end of the watch that left me entertained or gave me something, anything. Like, for example, there's the Birds of Prey series that came out in 2002, and it's god-awful, but I got really into it just because of Mia Sara and Dina Myers, because I had a crush on them. Now, so without going into much details about the whole premise of Birds of Prey, during the whole limited run season, 13 episodes only, we got to see Dina as Batgirl, and she also played Barbara Gordon, who was Oracle. So we got to see a pseudo Killing Joke storyline as to what happened to Barbara Gordon, who was Batgirl, then became paralyzed and now is in a wheelchair and is Oracle. So this is really all before the MCU and the DCEU even took place, because no one really decided to tap into storylines from the comics. So on that level alone, I think I give him major kudos for this. Now, yes, it's not very well done, but it's crap, and I liked it. So again, as I've always mentioned before, everyone has a right to like what they like. So let's start with this. The Daredevil Season 1 was perfect. I loved everything about that. We have Daredevil Season 2. It was good, but the last few episodes just kind of really fell apart. Now, we move on to Jessica Jones. Starts off really strong. Ending ends with, okay, so that happened. And it's like, okay, let's move on. But Luke Cage also is another strong contender. And somewhere about the last 6 episodes, it kind of changes direction, which is weird. But having said all that, each one, by the very first episode, has established who the characters are, what they're going for, or what is their purpose behind having this whole series behind them. So I watched the first episode, and I felt very that this is a very lackluster story. I didn't care the fact that Danny Rand, the Iron Fist, was walking around New York City barefoot. In the very beginning, he is barefoot for the majority of the episode. And if he's coming from overseas and he went through customs, I don't see how he would have been allowed to get through without shoes. Maybe it's just me. That doesn't work. It doesn't play out. He spends a lot of time, again, walking around New York City without shoes. Not that you don't see people walking around New York without shoes, but it just seems a bit odd. And I know that's within his character, and eventually he does get shoes, but right off the bat that bugged me. And there was no sense of the character itself is very one dimensional. He talks about getting his company back, sort of, because he owns 51% because of his father. But they suspect that this is just an imposter because he had died 15 years ago. So, speaking of which, 15 years ago, he has an iPod with him that he's playing music. Okay, so he kept it in good condition. Fine, I get that. I have lots of good things that are much older that are still working today. But the fact that he has this device, I don't know how he's charging this device. This is kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, where Peter has the Walkman. And the question was, how is it after all these years that Walkman is still working? Well, I'm sure in the context there was some kind of alternate power source or something to that effect. But here, it's not like you can just change out the batteries. It's a self-contained unit, and you have a battery that's built inside, so you have to charge it. I don't know if he really had that and how he kept the charge. Unless he played, you know, a couple of seconds of music here or there. It's such a stupid detail that I'm just, like, fixated on. But still, after the first episode, I don't know who this person is. I don't have any feelings for him. I don't care for him. So, like I said, I've only seen 3 episodes, and I stopped into the 4th. And this is a bit of a spoiler. Basically, there was a cliffhanger ending, so to speak. Episode 3, he's fallen off a building. Episode 4, there's a post sticking out of the building in which he somehow manages to grab onto. But what killed me was that the shot is a steady shot, and it's not as if he came straight down and landed on the pole. The shot sees him coming from right to left, like grabbing onto the pole as if he leapt from one part of the building and onto this pole to hang on to. And that's when I just stopped. It was ridiculous. Because if you're falling off the building, you land straight, or you fall straight, not veering off and start going in a 45 degree angle. It was just stupid execution. So the story was lame. The characters are very boring. They're very dry. There is references to The Hand. Carrie Moss is in it. And that's it. I have no other reasons to watch the series anymore. But why? Because of The Defenders. I have to watch this series to see and know what is going to happen to lead up to that series. So sadly, I'm just watching this just to get to the end, to find out how this all plays out. I'm not excited. I'm not thrilled. This is going to be a chink in the armor if things don't pick up. I hope it does. I really want this to win. The Netflix series have done extremely well. Even Jessica Jones, who had certain issues with their strength or their action scenes was an interesting character because she's damaged. Luke Cage, and we see his life in Harlem. We don't get to see that kind of diversity in superheroes. So we got something brand new and fresh. And then Daredevil is probably more grounded as a superhero who does have certain abilities, but besides, you know, he has a disability. He just can't see. So he is a human being that just happens to be super strong. But with him and the Kung Fu, it's not like the 70s in which there was a big emphasis and a big interest in that. And yes, there is action sequences and it's okay, but it doesn't have the exact same impact that I would have been had I been growing up watching this. I don't know. Maybe I'm too jaded. You know, I'm getting to be 50, but that's how I feel. All right, so that's it. So I will report again on Iron Fist after I've watched the entire series run of 13 episodes. Hopefully, it will get better. It better. All right, so thank you very much for listening to this podcast. You can always email me at monstersifishow@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. So again, thank you for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.